You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people like Chris Emma.
I love that that's the whole open for Chris Emma. That's it. It's just Mark Rohde.
I'm hyped.
We broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, and we go out to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. That is where we find our friend, the diligent Chris Emma. Chris, how are you?
What's up? How we doing?
You know what? We're doing all right. You know why? Because despite what happened last night in the NBA, there's still Bears to look forward to, and they didn't lose a game yesterday. They didn't lose a draft lottery. They're out here just getting ready, ho-humming.
The NFL doesn't even have to worry about a draft lottery. Perhaps that is a sign, as they are the most popular league.
I don't know if that's why they're the most popular league, but I see what you did there.
Oh, yeah. I hate the player and the game.
Chris, what are your thoughts, before we even get to football, what are your thoughts about the draft lottery last night and the Bulls having the 12th pick? I'm asking everyone. I forgot to ask Ian. I meant to ask him.
I appreciate you asking me, because I was bothered. Like, lottery luck is not an organizational strategy, and that's what the Bulls have leaned on for year after year after year. And look, you go back to February when they traded Zach LaVine away, and you understood that this was going to be a team that wasn't going to win a championship. It wasn't going to come close. And the best opportunity in play was what they got, which was a home play-in game, and that's perfectly fine with the people who run that organization. They got what they deserve. They lost in emphatic fashion to the Heat, who are once again a better team than them in the play-in and better team overall. And then there they are, sitting there with the number 12 overall pick. I think the real unfortunate thing is they're going to say we were a coin flip away from Cooper Flagg.
No, that's not acceptable. I thought about it.
It's just going to enable this way that they've operated for years. It's frustrating.
You know what I say? If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. Do the Bulls even have a Christmas game? We'll find out now, won't we?
They definitely do not have a Christmas game. No.
Well, you know, we're not having a Merry Christmas.
The Bears have a much higher chance of playing on Christmas Day than the Bulls.
Actually, that's a good point too, Emma. The schedule is being slowly released here. And I don't necessarily know that that's the best phrase for it. What do you call this? The slow leak of the schedule is coming out? It's like one of those Chemex pour over coffee things. Slowly we get a game here and a game there as it pours through this filter. What do you think the likelihood is of the Bears getting a Christmas Day game?
I think it seems very likely, and I would pencil that in for Washington on Christmas Day.
Wow.
And the way that it sets up was a year ago when they had these Saturday games leading into Christmas. The four teams that played in those games also played on Christmas Day. Process of elimination, the Eagles and Commanders are playing the other game in addition to the Bears and the Packers. The Bears are already set for Black Friday with the Eagles, which would set them up to play against the Commanders. That is a slated opponent for a road game, so I would pencil that in. We'll see if that comes to fruition. The caveat here is that there's a Saturday to Friday differential, where last year was Saturday to Thursday. There's an extra day where last year it was 4 days. They didn't really have much of a say in it, but I think it's very much in play for the Bears to be playing Christmas Day. And we've seen it already. These network reveals of these games, we've already seen two Bears games set. And I think you're going to see some more primetime games put out there. This is a team that's going to be once again drawing a national audience.
Hot take Tuesday with Chris Emma, man.
I don't think it's a hot take. I think it's just that's the state of where we are with the Bears and the Bulls in this city, is the Bears get to play on Christmas Day and the Bulls have no chance of playing on Christmas
Day. In 2 minutes with Chris Emma, he doled out the phrase organizational strategy for draft luck.
Actually, that's not even a hot
and
take.
Then
it's
he
just
said
the
Bears are playing on Christmas. Emma's working.
Let's hit Cubs. Let's hit Sox. I got all the thoughts coming your way.
Or do you have any Sox thoughts? Yeah, we want to know.
I don't think I have any Sox thoughts right now. Maybe in a couple of years, but
wow. they play the Cubs on Friday.
Yeah,
it's gonna be fun. Crosstown Classic. I wish there was a little bit more juice, but I'm excited to see Moises Ballesteros. Look, this is I actually got to see him a couple weeks ago. I was in Des Moines. I got to see the Iowa Cubs playoffs on one of his at bats, and he hit a ball about. It seemed like 115 miles an hour off the bat, just a laser to the right center field alley, and that's all I needed to see. This guy checks all the boxes. He is a slugger for this team.
Why were you in Des Moines watching an Iowa Cubs game?
Yeah, I got questions.
My sister lives out there. Had to go check out the iCubs. We got to stay for about an inning and a half before my sister said she was cold and wanted to go home. Understandable. It was a cold night in Des Moines, but good little ballpark, and we had some fun, and I got to see Mo Ball rip one to the alley.
This Chris Emma segment for all seasons is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Wow. So you're scouting Moises Ballesteros, who's reportedly coming up thanks to our reporter Bruce Levine. You have prognosticated, and I think we should take that audio if we need it for the future, that the Bears are playing on Christmas. And you had some very, very sick Bulls thoughts.
Now I want the Bears Moises Ballesteros comp from Ricky Minicamp. Who's the comp?
I know who he's setting you up to say. I know it.
What you got, Chris?
Shamar Turner. My goodness, it's absolutely Shamar Turner. The guy, Moises Ballesteros' bat is violent. You talk about the knockback you want to see off the bat. Moises Ballesteros has the knockback. Shamar Turner has the knockback off the line. This is a guy who is a Dennis Allen player. We heard Dennis Allen say it as well. He is going to bully guys off the whistle, off the snap. And, like, he's going to be a really aggressive, violent player for this team. He fits this defensive identity. So, no-brainer for me. It's Shamar Turner.
I thought you were going to say Kyle Monongai.
I want to preface things with a seventh-round running back. Like, he's exciting, and I think everybody sees him as a steal, and may very well be the case, but I feel like we're putting the expectations unreasonably high on him. Like, scouts are not big on Kyle Monongai for a reason. Like, there's a lot of things he's got to prove at the NFL level, but he's exciting. It's a piece. He's going to be somebody to watch, but I feel like we're putting a lot of expectations on him.
Do you also it's funny you mentioned, like, we're mentioning running backs. You mentioned Turner. One of the things I thought about too was Dennis Allen. How many times did you hear him say over the weekend at House Hall, he can run? It is clear that Dennis Allen loves some speed, and he loves people who can cover a lot of ground.
Yeah, and you think about a player like, I talked about Shamar Turner as a Dennis Allen player. You've got a lot of Dennis Allen players on this team, and Ruben Hippolyte's a guy who's fascinating to me. You talk about sideline to sideline speed, and a guy who can run, as Dennis Allen said, like, that's Ruben Hippolyte. And it was an interesting pick at the time because that was a player who everybody had projected for late in the draft or even undrafted entirely. He goes fourth round, and a lot of eyebrows were raised for that pick and nationally. But you think about what the Bears covet in players, and specifically for Dennis Allen, like, this is a Dennis Allen player all the way. And they made it clear that third linebacker spot is wide open for the taking. Jack Sanborn had that spot for years. He's down in Dallas now with Matt Eberflus and the Cowboys. So Ruben Hippolyte's the guy who might be a fit for this defense. And I loved hearing his words on Saturday talking about misery loves company was the term that he used, referring to the idea of people who have been skeptics on him and saying that he's not going to be an NFL player, that he didn't deserve to go in the fourth round. This is a guy who, like, character off the charts, clear right away, and you see why the Bears are so drawn to him. He's a very talented player with something to prove, and those are the guys you want to bet on.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Another guy with something to prove in my eyes, but I'm already all in. I'm all aboard the Ozzie Trapillo as a left tackle train. Let's ride. Is it that simple? Is he the guy? Because I have him as slotted as my week one starter at left tackle because I don't think Braxton Jones will be where they want him to be.
I think he's your week one starter at right tackle potentially. I really do. And
what? Hot Take Tuesday with Chris Emma is a thing.
Expound on that.
It's a decision that's looming, and it's not going to be a one-off. It's not going to be a trial for this guy or that guy. But Darnell Wright is in consideration to move from right tackle to left tackle this offseason, or if not in the coming weeks, then in training camp. And they want to make this decision one and done and commit to him as either right tackle for the future or moving over to left tackle. But it's very much in play for the Bears to have this decision being made. I think they want to see them get the pads on in training camp before they really go full go with this. Ozzie Trapillo has the luxury of being able to play left side or right side. He started out at left tackle right now this past weekend. Granted, there's not much going on for rookie minicamp, but he started at that left side, and he showed the technique and everything you wanted to see of that spot. But if Darnell Wright is moving over from right tackle to left tackle, I think Ozzie Trapillo is going the other way. I think he's going to right tackle. They believe in him as starter upside. They certainly see that making him a second-round pick. They absolutely love his ability to play with technique, but also with violence, and to combine that. There's an opening at tackle now. We know which side it is. It's the opposite side of Darnell Wright. I'm curious about Braxton Jones' health. And this is somebody they still believe in. They're not writing him off by any means. They're not writing off Karan Amagaji either. but they have a high investment and high belief in Ozzie Trapillo. I think they're going to give him an opportunity alongside Darnell Wright, and I think it's going to be with Ozzie Trapillo at right tackle.
What's the advantage there of moving Darnell Wright to the left side? Because that's where he spent all his time as a Bear, and that's where he seems to be comfortable. What's the advantage?
I mean, he can play both ways on that. I think they want to see how he looks, first of all, and they get a true sense of whether that conversion works for him. That's going to be something that's decided by Ryan Poles and his staff, by Ben Johnson and his staff, certainly Dan Rauscher, your new offensive line coach as well. But it's protecting Caleb Williams' blind side. And this is a complete overhaul of the offensive line, which we've seen from last year to this year. The one starter returning right now is healthy is Darnell Wright. If you move over to left tackle, it's a complete change now with three new starters in the interior and now two new tackles. If you count Darnell Wright making that move, we'll see. Maybe it's something they shy away from. They say we feel better with him at the right tackle spot. But they see it's something that's at least very much in consideration. But like I said, it's not going to be tinkering where Darnell Wright's playing right tackle one day and left the next. They don't want to do this where they're overwhelming Darnell as well as Ozzie Trapillo or anybody else. They want to have the decision ready to go, commit to it, and go forward with it.
Chris, what have you seen? Like, was there something you saw at Halas this weekend where you said that that's still a possibility, or is this just something that you're thinking could be?
It's just, it's something I've been hearing, and it's something that's been out there a little bit, you know, talking with people around the Bears and getting a sense of kind of where this offensive line is going to take shape for the future. It's something that they've been considering internally. And obviously seeing Ozzie Trapillo line up at left tackle seems to offer credence that it won't happen. But again, it's rookie minicamp. He's got familiarity at both spots, and it's going to be really fascinating to see come what? So a week from today is the first practice of OTAs. We will be out there as media for practice a week from tomorrow. We're going to see how they line up with the ones, and that's not necessarily going to indicate anything for the season. I think they really can't get a thorough evaluation of this whole line until you get guys in full pads and popping.
Ah, Chris Emma with the hot takes. Apparently we need to do this more often. End the scouting report on Moises Ballesteros. That was great.
I don't have any Blackhawks coaching candidates for you anymore, so I'm sorry. I'm going to leave you short on that. But, yeah, you got a lot of sports thoughts for you. Let's go. It's that time of year.
Thanks so much, Chris.
I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. That was Chris Emma joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today.
That was a lot, but in a good way.
That was incredible. That was why haven't we tapped into this side of Chris Emma before?
We'll be doing that from now on.
The Bulls thought was just flamethrower.
But I think we all have our flamethrowers out on this day. Do we not?
Yeah, we
do. It could be Bulls flamethrower day.
Like I said, I walked into the office with my own feelings.
I'm interested to get those Joe Cali feelings. Let me just say that.
Yeah, Joe Cali joining us later on the show. What do you want us to give away right now, Ray? We got a lot of stuff.
The Who tickets, we're just teasing.
Oh, okay. We should tell people. Later in the show, we're going to give away some tickets to see the Who. How about that? Tune into our show on 670 The Score all week for your chance to win tickets to see the Who on Sunday, September 7th at the United Center. That is before they have gone on sale, people. They don't go on sale until Friday. So we're ahead of the game here.
I like that for us, being ahead of the game. I wish the Bulls were ahead of the game, but here we are.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.